Sură în față. حسبنا الله ونعم الوكيل نعم المولى ونعم النصير أعوذ بالله من الشيطان اللعين الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين الصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين سيدنا ومولانا أبي القاسم محمد وعلى آله الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين أما بعد How do we make our prayers acceptable in the eyes of Allah? How do we make a good prayer? That is the subject we want to discuss. One of the issues that we see that many people when they want to make when they become religious or when they enter into the folds of Islam, what they start doing is that they start to advise others, to tell others, let others know that you should pray and start encouraging others to pray. And usually they come and say, Marana, you know, we have all these people, we have all these youth, we have all these youngsters who don't pray. And we are trying to invite them, and we are trying to encourage them to come and pray. The issue with this is that, and the answer to this is that people who don't pray, the reason they're not praying is basically because of the fact or because of the reason by looking at those people who claim to pray. A person, for example, who claims to pray and he claims to be having a relationship with God and he seems that he is praying. The fact that because these people, their prayer is not that strong. You ask these people, what has prayer given to you that that person would be attracted towards you? Why would he be attracted towards you when he sees that prayer has not helped you, prayer has not made you someone else? It hasn't changed your life yet. The fact is this, my brothers, the rule is this. And if he applies this principle in life, it applies to everything in life. And what is that principle? It is that until those who are good do not become better, then those who are bad will not become good. The good have to become better so that those who are bad can become good. You have to show that this prayer, what it has given you in your own life, so that the people can take testimony of your life and say that, yes, this is what you get out of prayer. This is what you get out of listening to God. This is what you get out of worship. That has to be there. If that is not there, if they see that our prayers are such that it's not affecting us, it's not changing our life, then those people who don't pray will not be attracted towards prayer. Salawat ala Muhammad. Because here, we need to understand, don't look at, because we don't understand what is prayer for us. We don't understand what is the meaning, why does Allah want us to pray, why does Allah want us to make salah 5 times a day? Why is it that He wants us to do that? Especially when it's difficult, especially when it's hard. Why is it that Allah wants us to do that? We don't understand that. We think that, you know, because this, at the time you pray, you become like for example, inspired, or that we enjoy it. No, it's not because of that. And the examples we have of our a'imma, examples we have of our anbiya and awliya, don't look at those examples. Really, don't look at those examples. Prayer for them is different than what prayer is for us. At our level, why do you pray? What is the reason that your praying is different than why Imam Ali alayhi salatu wasalam prayed? Salawat ala Muhammad wa ala
Muhammad.
You know, it is said that when Imam Ali used to make wudu, his face would turn pale by the fear of Allah in him. At the time he made wudu, just the fact that he's doing in the presence of Allah would make him go pale. How many times did we make wudu and ever thought about that? Now you're making wudu so fast, this and that, you know. Oh, I mean, why are you doing this? I mean, you make it in such a way that, you know, you're just like in a hurry. What's your hurry? Why are you making this wudu this way? Are you upset Allah made it wajib on you? I mean, are you upset that it's difficult for you? I mean, why? Issue that look at Imam Ali, hence when we look at him making prayers, it's different than what we are praying. My friends, the first step of prayers, the first reason of prayer is what? The first reason of prayer is that prayer is meant to discipline us. It's meant to discipline us. All Allah wants from us is just do the wajibat. Just do what you are obligated to do in prayer. That's it. Make sure that you observe the rules of prayer. That's it. That's all Allah wants from you at this stage. He doesn't want you to enjoy. He doesn't want you to do this. No, He just wants you to observe His rule. Prayer. We should not go to prayer because we enjoy it. Let prayer affect us first and pray so that we can be affected, and then let Allah first enjoy your prayers. Let Allah enjoy seeing you pray. When you pray, it's Allah who's enjoying it. And the fact that Allah is enjoying you pray should be enough for us to make us melted, to make us understand that, you know, Allah is enjoying my prayer. Let me just go ahead and make the prayer the way Allah wants to. So first thing, my brothers, what is prayer is meant to discipline us, to make us observe the rules, to observe what Allah said. This is what it's meant for. This is the reason why it's there. Salawat ala Muhammad. What Allah wants to do in prayers, by us making us pray five times a day, by putting all these rules and restrictions on prayers, what does Allah want to do? You see, Allah just wants you to recognize one thing. He just wants you to recognize who you are standing in front of. Who is it that you are standing in front of? Do you know that? Do you know that who, in whose presence are you going? Allah just wants you to make you realize that. If you understand who you are standing in front of, you are making a good prayer. Just understand that much. Who am I standing in front of? That's the reason when you stand for prayers, it's makruh to do many things. And that's why shaitan, he gets upset when you observe the rules. He doesn't get upset when you cry or when you're like, you know, feeling good. He doesn't get upset at that. What he gets upset at is when you start observing the rules and start understanding that you are standing in front of Malik. You're standing in front of your Khalik. You're standing in front of Allah. That's when he gets upset. That's what he gets upset at with you when you pray. That's why he will come to you and give you an itch in your head. Right? He'll give you an itch in your head, so you start scratching your head. The minute you start scratching your head, you know what shaitan giving you that itch. Giving you that itch, you start scratching your head over here, looking around, doing different things. things. What does He wants you to not observe the rules, man? He wants you to understand that, listen, Allah, this is the person who's standing in front of you. Look at him. He doesn't even care who you are. Look at the way he's standing in prayers. Again, your job in prayers, just stand at attention. Salute Allah. Observe the rules. Have discipline. That's all. Don't look at enjoyment right now. Don't look at that good feeling. Don't look at that, oh, alhamdulillah, it was great. No, don't look at these things. All Allah wants you to do is understand that He is great. That He is greater. That He is higher. And you are lower. That's it. Understand that much at this level. That's it. Understand that you are the Abd and He is the Rabb. Understand that much. Don't go deeper. Nothing. That's that much. Now when you stand, at the time you stand in prayer, how do you stand in prayer? This is one thing, you know, obviously, when I want you to look at yourself, don't look at yourself in the masjid. Because really, in the masjid, you will see that there are other reasons why you are standing so strictly. Meaning, if you are standing in the masjid, it's like how you stand at your home in prayers, then you're doing a good job. But if you are standing in the masjid, you see that, hey, you know what, everyone's looking at me. If I scratch my head, if I do these things, then people will say, what's wrong with you? Are you praying or what? Looking at other people, what will you do? Of course you will stand at, you know, attention, and you will stand with discipline. But when you are at home praying, what are you doing? Are you scratching your head, scratching your back? Why are you doing this? Why do you do this in the masjid? You see, understand it. Why? Because to that person who's scratching himself over, moving around, or looking here and there in his house, it means that there's no one that he believes is watching him. But when he comes to the masjid and prays, you see that they pray with all kinds of khushu, wudu, and discipline, and follow the orders, observe the rules. You see that? So now what happens? What does that say to us? It tells us that we believe in the people more than we believe in Allah. So first thing you need to understand is that who you are standing in front of. Who are you standing in front of? Understand that much. That's how Allah is training us in prayers. And I'll give examples from the prayers so that you understand what I'm saying very clearly. Salawat ala Muhammad. In short, what Allah wants us to do is that we need to have the understanding that Allah, Allah's grandeur, Allah's majesty, Allah's azamat is there in our eyes and hearts. That's what Allah wants from you, just that much. If you can understand that much, you have completed a successful prayer. Your prayer is successful. Now when you look at the prayers, my friends, Allah wants you to understand this right at the beginning of prayers. Allah, when He introduced Himself in the Quran, how did He introduce Himself? Bismillah, Ar-Rahman, Ar-Rahim. Allah is Rahman, Allah is Rahim. Allah is compassionate, He is merciful. Allah introduced Himself through His rahmah, through His mercy, through His compassion. He introduced Himself like that. But when you stand up for prayer, what do you say? Allahu Akbar. Allah, you introduce yourself through your rahmaniyah. You introduce yourself through your compassion and mercy. So why don't, instead of saying Allahu Akbar, we say Allahu Rahman and start? Because that is more beautiful to us, what is more good to us, it's more enjoyable to us. Why is it that you want us to say Allahu Akbar instead of Allahu Rahman? Why is Akbar? Why do we have to accept that Allah is Akbar at the time we pray and start our prayers? It is wajib. And it's a rukun to say Allahu Akbar. The rukun, you can't leave it. If you leave it, your prayer is batil. It's say, Allahu Akbar. Allah, why? Why do you want us to look at you as great and higher and stronger and mightier? Why do you want us to do that? Because you see, my friend, understand this. Allah knows how to rectify and do islah of insan. He knows how to do islah of people and rectify people, rectify us. You know how he does it? He says, listen, if you start thinking about my rahmaniyat, if you start thinking about the fact that I'm compassionate and merciful, you know what will happen to you? I will become like your uncle, your ammu, you know? Ammu, how are you doing? I'm fine, good. That's why right at the beginning when you said, brother, no, don't think about me as Rahman, don't think, I am Akbar. Think of my kibriya, think of my greatness and majesty, think of my power and might. So that when you look at Allah and say he is Akbar, that he is kibriya, that he is greater than everyone, then your fear, that fear inside of you should take over. And that you're standing, he's not my ammu or my uncle that I can call out to, you know, for anything. No. I stand in front of you knowing that you have power over me. Allah, I'm here to observe your rules, your discipline. I am disciplined. You see, this is what Allah wants, to make us understand. Now when you stand in prayer, your job in prayer is to do what? To think, to make Allah greater in your eyes. To make Allah greater in your eyes. Allahu Akbar. See that? But why do you say Allahu Akbar? Reason why Allah wants you to know that He is greater. So that the fear of Allah can be in your heart. So that you can start fearing Him, and out of that fear, following His rules, observing His laws. Observing His laws and saying, Allah, I am an Abd, I'm just doing what you tell me to do. That's it. Then when you behave like that, then Allah enjoys your prayers. He says, you see my Abd here, you see my servant here? You see, he's observing the rules of prayers. He's observing what I've asked him to do. Allah becomes happy with our prayers. This is how Allah becomes happy with our prayers. Right? We want Allah to enjoy our prayers. We don't want to enjoy the prayers. We want Allah to enjoy our prayers. That's the goal in prayer. Everyone got it wrong that I want to enjoy prayer. How do I enjoy my prayer? The prayer is not for you to enjoy. Prayer is for Allah to enjoy. You pray that Allah enjoy your prayers, and then He will start giving you tawfiqat, as I said yesterday. He will start blessing you with different things that will help you to grow in prayers. That will help you to grow in prayer. Salawat ala Muhammad.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad.
First thing to understand, what? That Allah is greater. Allah wants us to understand that. Let me give you another example so you know this, right? In dua also, when you make dua to Allah, in Ramadan, we are making the dua every day, and I will read it for you, and you do the tahleel and analyze it. Just analyze it. What do you say in the dua of Ramadan after every prayer? What are we saying? Ya Ali or Ya Azim? What? Ya Ghafuro? Ya Raheem. Allah, Ya Ghafur, Ya Raheem. But Allah is saying, listen, my ghafariyat, my rahmaniyat, my forgiveness and my mercy comes after the fact that I am Ali and I am Azim. First know that I am Ali, that I am high, I am Azim, that I am great and majestic. Then know that I am merciful and compassionate. My friends, why? Why does Allah want us to do this? Why is it that He wants us to recognize that He is majestic before He is Rahman? Because when you read the Quran, everyone says Allah introduced Himself to His mercy, to His compassion. But in prayers, He's not doing that. In du'as, He's not doing that. At first you start off by saying that He's Ali and Azim. Then you go and say He's Ghafoor and Raheem. You see, at the end of all du'as, we say, بِرَحْمَتِكَ يَا أَرْحَمَ الرَّاحِمِينَ. That's at the end of the du'a. But at the beginning of the du'a is what? Read Tawaf al-Mahram and you'll see. understand this, my friends, very well, because this is some point I want to make. And if you understood this, then it will help you in many ways in your ideology, make you grow. What I'm saying right now. Why does he want to do this? Because, my friends, here's the thing. The misunderstanding of our people in relationship to God, in relationship to Allah is, you know what? People weren't allowed to be the way they like him to be. People weren't allowed to be the way they want them to be. This is the mistake in their belief in Allah, in God. Look at the Christians and you will see that. When you ask them, well, what do you think about God? Oh, God is merciful, God is kind, God is this, that, that. Well, what if he was mighty and powerful and strong and punishing? You know, I don't like that kind of God. So, you want God to be the way you want him to be. You won't accept him the way he is. My friends, understand this. And you know what happens with that? If you don't accept God's greatness first, and God's majesty, and God's power and might, if you do not accept that, then you also don't fall in love with him. Don't claim love to a God that is forgiving. You don't love him also. Really, you don't love him. Because no one loves a God who's just forgiving. You can't. Love cannot grow in that place where God is only forgiving and that's it. You know why? I'll tell you. I'll give you a personal example that you all will be aware of in your own life. Tell me, my friends, if the leader, any boss, if you're a boss in your workplace, how many of you work if you're a boss? If you see that your boss never gets angry, never gets upset, and he's always easygoing, he'll let you go off on everything. Tell me, how many people will start taking advantage of him and will start taking him easy? If you are late for work every day and the boss says, sorry, man, don't worry about it. You know, you are good. Now tell me, how many of you will ever be on time for that work? You start losing respect. You start losing respect of that boss who doesn't know how to do justice and how to punish you for doing wrong. If a father, if he goes easy going on his kids, and this is a mistake that fathers make here, they say, oh, I'm not a father to my children, I'm more of a friend to my children. Well, good riddance. You know what? If you're a friend to your children, tough luck. Now I want to see how your kids grow up. Your kids don't need a friend, they have enough friends. They need a father. They need a father who can stop them from doing right, who can discipline them. Otherwise, a kid who's growing up in a house where he doesn't have a father, where he doesn't have a figure that can discipline him, that kid will go astray and he will lose respect for every law. And this is what happens, my friends. You don't have respect, you don't have closeness to someone who's just forgiving. That's the reason Allah knows that. Now tell me, I want you to understand. You all love Imam Ali. You all love Amir al-Mu'mineen. Why do you love him so much? Why do you love him so much? Because he's compassionate and merciful? Because he was a nice guy? Because he's always easygoing? Why do you love Amir al-Mu'mineen so much? My friends, the reason you love Amir al-Mu'mineen is because of his dhulfiqar. Because of his power. Because of his mind. That's when you look at his mind, then you appreciate his kindness. When you go and look in, for example, Ashura, Karbala, and we all are Shia here, we all love Imam Hussein, we all cry for him, we all would give whatever we can for him. And everyone in Karbala was important. We cry for everyone. You know, no matter what it is, whether it's Habib ibn al-Mabahar, you know, whether it's Hur, whether it's Ali Akbar, everyone we cry for. But you see, look at the Shias and you will see someone in Karbala has such a special place. Such a special place that no other Shuhada has that place. No other Shuhada has that place. I mean, they're all at the highest. Shia, that they love him so much. father, meaning that, yes, you're not a tyrant, you're not a zalim, but you're strict, you have rules in your house. And when you have those rules, and you see the kids, they observe those rules, and then when you show them kindness, they will love you for the kindness that you show them. You know, for example, I have kids I know, through experience I'm saying, this is just through experience and you can relate it to your own self. You know, my kids always want to stay over at someone's house. You know, their relatives, cousins, this and that. I want to have a sleepover. I want to sleep over. Every time I say no. No. But why? Why can't I? I said no. You said that. And every time they know, I will say no. I'll say no. And you know what? The one time that I say yes, you know what? They're jumping up and down with excitement and they come and hug me. Thank you. Why is that? Right? Because they know that you are strong. And then they understand that you are kind, that kindness makes them fall in love with you. After they know that you are strong. But if you are someone who never lets them, always lets them go and has no discipline, then what happens? Every time you say yourself, don't worry about him, he'll say yes. They have no respect for you, they have no love for you, my friend. Love happens when they see strength. Power is what makes you fall in love with someone. It's power that makes you fall in love with someone. Not being a nice guy. For those with the camera, this is after you thought we were having this speech, right? Even the camera might be thinking we're having this speech beforehand to see the water there. Why is going on not fasting? We're having this speech after you thought today. Salawat. My friends, it is strength that makes a person fear, and then kindness that comes after strength that makes them fall in love. Anyone who claims to have a God that is just, merciful, and forgiving and says that he loves them, doesn't. He cannot. He cannot love someone who's always forgiving, master. No. You don't even regard him as God. You know why? Because you made him up. You made him up. You say that, you know, I like a God that is always kind and merciful. I don't want a God who's, you know, angry and strong and powerful. No, I don't want that. Well, whatever you have in your mind is something you made up. That's why you don't respect it. If you accept Allah the way He is, that's how Allah is saying, listen, don't say I'm Rahman and Rahim in your prayer. Say I'm Akbar, Allahu Akbar. My friend, the whole teaching us what? You see that? Allahu Akbar. When we stand up, we say what? Allahu Akbar. These are three states of prayers, right? There's Qiyam, Ruku, and Sujood. When you stand up, you say Allahu Akbar. When you're in Ruku, what do you say? Subhana Rabbiyal Azimah wa bihamdih. When you're in Sajda, what do you say? Subhana Rabbiyal A'la wa bihamdih. You understand that in all three states of prayer, what is Allah teaching us? That He's Rahman, Rahim, Ghafoor? No. Allah is saying prayer is meant for you to understand that the Kibriya of Allah, the Azamat of Allah, and the Uluwiyat of Allah. In other words, the whole prayer is meant to make Allah greater in your heart. That is what prayer is meant for. Prayer is meant to increase the majesty of Allah in your own heart. That's what prayer is meant for. Stand in front of Him like an owl. Stand in front of Him like a slave and understand that He's the master. That's all. Observe His rules. Whatever He says, just do it. Whatever He's saying, just do it. Whatever He's saying, do it. That's it. Don't do otherwise. Just do what He's saying. Then you will see that prayer. That prayer will become dear to Allah. That's how prayer become dear to Allah. Allah.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
You know, this person came to me for advice. He said, you know what? No matter how hard I try to pray, no matter how hard I try to pray, I just can't, you know, make myself get around to doing it. Tariq al-Salah, but not all of it, sometimes, especially these morning prayers. Very hard for me to make morning prayers. So, you know, my bed is so soft, blankets are so comfortable, AC is on. I'm like, I'm not going to just wait for 2 hours. I have a lot of making prayers later, you know, when we wake up. Why do I have to make it right there when the sleep is the most beautiful? We have these that, you know, when morning time comes, right? Shaitan, he comes and sits on your face. He comes and sits on your face to make you feel heavy that you don't want to get up. Makes you sit on your face. So that even when you want to get up, you can't get up. And then if you can't make yourself get up because Allah has asked you to, then Shaitan, he gets so angry that he can't stay there. He just runs away with madness, with ghayb. He runs away. And if you don't listen to Allah, and if you sleep, you say that, you know what? Allah, inshallah, I'll make it up after I wake up. Let me go back to sleep. Then he said that, Shaitan will laugh so much, you know, that he pees. Right? You know when you laugh so much and you start to pee, like urinate, and you laugh so much, he starts laughing so hard that it pees in your ears and go. So if you ever wake up with wet ears, you know where that's coming from, right? You know where that's coming from. And understand it. Shaitan hates it when you observe the rules. So now this person came to me and said, I just can't get up for prayers. What do you think is wrong? What should I do? I said, the reason you can't get up for prayers is because Allah is so small in your heart, in your mind, that you have such a small vision of Allah, that really, that's why you're not able to get up. Because if Allah in His kibriya and azamat was in your heart, there's nothing that can stop you from getting up. The reason you can't get up for prayer is because the azamat of Allah, His greatness is not in your heart. You don't have it. That's why. It's one thing I'll say, so that you understand about prayer. That's what we are discussing about. My prayer requires. You know, one part of prayer that Allah loves the most is what? Sujood? Someone says sujood there? Alhamdulillah, you are right. Sajda. Sujood is the part of prayer Allah loves the most. Obviously, we know that this is the part where, you know, man, in all his arrogance and ego, bows down and goes all the way to the floor, puts his head on the floor. And in that place, you see, this Allah loves that place. He loves you to be there in that sajda. You know? What prayer is that? And that's the point where we are told to extend it. Extend your sajda. Extend your sajda there. Don't just go and get out of it. No, extend it. Make it longer. Really make it longer. We are told to do that. You know how important sajda is? You know, there was a time a person had helped Rasulullah somewhere. You know, that time Rasulullah was outside, he helped him somewhere. Alhamdulillah, thank you, this and that. He went. At the end of Rasulullah's life, Rasulullah had made an announcement that, listen, if there's anyone who has anything that I owe them, let me know so I can pay it off to you. Don't complain on the day of judgment. I will pay it off for you. And this old man, he said, Ya Rasulullah, you owe me something. He said, what is that? What do I owe you for? He said, remember that time I helped you with this thing and this thing? I was not properly paid for it. Rasulullah didn't argue. He said, alright, what do you want in return for that? You help me, what do you want? I will give you anything you want. I'll give you anything you want. heart. Tell me. Subhanallah. When Rasulullah, as the messenger of Allah, as the one who is from Allah, that if he says something, Allah will accept it. He said that man, he told Rasulullah that you owe me. And Rasulullah said, what do you want? Anything you want, I will give it to you. You know what that man asked for? He said, Ya Rasulullah, all I want from you is to be with you on the day of judgment. That's all I want. On the day of judgment, in Jannah, when we go to Jannah, I want to be there with you. Rasulullah kept silent. You know, something you're asking. I mean, if you asked for all the gold in the world, I would have given it. The earth would have given it to you. But you're asking me something that is so big. Now he can give shifa, but he's saying, you know, that Rasulullah knows. And if he just says yes, and then this man, he hears it, then you know what? He's going to go on and live his life. How can I justify it before Allah? That Allah, I said yes to this man to be in Jannah, that I will say, you know, but this person has sinned all his life. How can he be next to you? So you know what Rasulullah said? Just look at it and then enjoy what he said. And then take a lesson from what he said. You know, such a big thing he's asking, I want to be with you in Jannah. So Rasulullah said that, okay, I promise you that. That you will be next to me in Jannah. But there's one thing that you have to do. There's one shart, one condition I have for you. I will make you all that, but one condition is there. He says, Rasulullah, what is that condition? He says, Aini bi kasrat sujood. Help me with making a lot of sajda. Help me with making a lot of sujood. Because this sujood of yours, I can say that I will take you to heaven. This is what sajda is, my friend. Aini, help me. Help me with my making a lot of sajda in your life. If you make a lot of sajda, I will make sure my promise is true to you. This is sajood, my friend. This is sajda. This is what it means to make sajda. You know, sajda is so important, my friend. Really, that a person who goes into sajda, his situation should be such that that place should be so sweet to him that he is in that situation. One, Allah likes it. Two, the person who's there, he feels so good that to get out of sajda, Allah knows that it will be hard for him to get out of sajda. You know in the ayam how when they used to pray? When they used to go into sajda, it was so hard for them to get out of it. It was difficult, impossible for them to get out of it. Allah knew that it's so hard for them to get out of it. That's why Allah said that when you get out of sajda, it will be hard for you. That's why seek my help by saying, Bihawlillahi wa quwwatihi wa aqulu wa aqwatu. Seek my help and I will help you get out of sajda. That is sajda, my friends. We seek Allah's help when we get out of it. We seek Allah's help when we get out of it. That is how much we should enjoy being there in sajda, in sujood. This is prayer, my friend. You want to know prayer? This is what it's meant for. It's meant to make you an abd and to make you realize that Allah is your Rabb. This is what it's meant for. Inshallah, we'll see one more day. Inshallah, I'll try to explain a little bit more in regards to prayers so that we can improve our prayers and make it better. Allah, we ask you that in this month of Ramadan, accept whatever prayers we have made so far in our lives that have weaknesses in them, that have flaws in them. Allah, accept it from us in this month of Ramadan. Oh Allah, we ask you that the amal and the ibadah that we are making, even though our intentions are weak and our practice is weak, we ask you with all the weakness we have for the sake of Muhammad, wa ala Muhammad, accept those ibadah. Oh Allah, we ask you to raise the ma'rifat of your deen in our heart and in our mind. We ask you, oh Allah, that you hasten the reappearance of our imam, and that you make us his helpful when he comes. وآخر دعوانا الحمد لله رب العالمين بالحال صلوات ما Yes, do I have to die now or?